Mail call.
It's a mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
Our mailbag Monday. Ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. Sports, food, TV shows, whatever. Keith from LA says, can you guys give me a great recommendation for some great Texas barbecue?
What's your go-to? Killing?
Here's
you gotta wait a long time.
You can either tell me. It depends on when you go. You can game it where you don't have to wait very long. Now, if you're going on the weekend, you're gonna have to wait. You probably need to be there early. If you're looking for a beef rib, Killin's. Can't go wrong with Killin's beef rib. I think it's the best beef rib in Houston. If you're looking for the best brisket in Houston, I'm a huge fan of Corkscrew. Corkscrew brisket is fantastic.
Good call.
So those are my two favorite things. Like, I'm not a huge sausage guy. I'll eat sausage, but I never go to a place for their sausage. It's more of a thrown-in. But Killin's for a beef rib, and then give me some Corkscrew for some brisket. Those are where I would go, Key from L.A.
J-Bar M as well. J-Bar M, when they brought in all that barbecue for us.
Their ribs were fantastic.
Yeah, they got some good
So there's
stuff.
Another thing. You want some ribs? Maybe J Bar M's the call. Yep.
They had beef and pork.
Yep.
They had beef and pork.
The ribs. I didn't have their beef rib. And they gave
Jeremy might be right. I think they only had they might have only brought
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, they didn't bring the dino beef rib.
But the they just kept talking about it. That's what it was.
I love a beef
and
rib.
And all the grills that they had and the way they prepared it. Yeah, J Bar M does a great
Those
job.
Those breakfast tacos were pretty legit too.
Yeah, they were. I've done the Franklin scene for brisket.
And you do brisket and dinner, Joe. No lunch.
Franklin's brisket is outstanding. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, that's bad. It's not good. Like, I'm not gonna front. It's outstanding. But Corkscrew's brisket is on the same tier as Franklin's brisket.
What's the place off of, like, Ella? Or kind of off of 610.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's been there a long time.
It's Gatlin's.
It's Gatlin's. Gatlin's is also very
Gatlin's,
good brisket.
Gatlin's, yep. Gatlin's really good. I like their burn-ins a lot at Gatlin's. And I think that I don't know how to pronounce the name. It's like Fergies, F-E-R-G-E-S. I think they do burnt-in, like big red burn-ins. Like they marinate, they cook it up in the big red, kind of soak at that. But if you're looking for that, J Bar M's a good place to go. Beef rib, Killin's, brisket. How about Corkscrew there in Sugarland or in Spring? 7516. Can you picture Dana Brown and Dusty Baker having conversations like Brad Pitt and Philip Seymour Hoffman in Moneyball?
I know.
They've had, like, I don't think that there's dissent between the two, but they don't necessarily see eye to eye with everything, like, especially the catcher position. I think that Dana Brown would ideally like to play Yiner Diaz at least twice a week, probably start him three times a week, and it's only been once a week. Well, it's only been once through the rotation.
Back up your point, just by what the quotes were. The media was calling out Dana Brown because at the start of the season, he said how many at-bats he wanted to get for Yiner Diaz, and they were way, way, way off. Well, the reason why they were way off is because Dusty's got to play him and find spots to get him the at-bats, and he's not doing it. And that tells you Dusty, with that loyalty factor, ain't going to change his ways now.
Yep.
I mean, JP France, like, if he's going to catch France, he's going to catch two out of every five games.
I like that. Give me
and
that.
Then, and that was exactly, again, the Lance guy.
I've been the only guy. I just keep giving him credit in the last week or so, but Jeremy's the one that said it. Like, this is the perfect opportunity to get another day in the rotation for Yiner to catch because it's a guy that he can be familiar with.
But also what annoys me, too, is Dusty would talk about how he hasn't been able to give Abreu a day off. Like, you'll use Hensley at first, but we'll still DH Abreu. You have a third catcher. Yiner Diaz is capable of playing first base. Like, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Maybe they don't agree with that. Like, just because he's done it, maybe they don't think he can do it.
Maybe not. You might be right. Ocho, 713-780-3776. Mailbag Monday. Ask the Killer Bees whatever. Ocho says, would you rather go ziplining through the Amazon forest or ride a camel around the pyramids? This is a great question because I would do both of these in a heartbeat. I would love to do both of these.
Like, I'm not a heights guy. I'm 5'6". I like to stay close to the ground, so I'll take the camel.
But could you imagine? Like, it's still pretty high.
Not compared to a zipline.
Ziplining through the Amazon would be awesome.
It would be very cool. I think that kind of just the history of the pyramids and everything that goes with it, it'd be cool. Although, very disturbing that a buddy of mine went to Egypt with his wife in the last 8 months, maybe. He said that you have to pay for toilet paper everywhere you go in Egypt.
You have to pay for toilet paper here.
No, but I'm talking about like at your hotel. Like when they take
a commodity
everywhere you go, it's like this really hard to get commodity where you have to pay per square. That's a rough call, right?
Yeah, it's rough. I didn't realize that.
I wouldn't even know where to start.
Well, how many squares are you going? It's not like a football pool. I'm going to need this many squares.
I've never thought about that question. Like, you'd have to like really contemplate life before you go do that.
Do you have a square to spare?
Yeah, because
give me the Amazon.
You do have to worry about the breakthrough factor, too. I mean, what kind of durability are we getting here?
Yeah. 4488, when will Blankers be the color guy for Branham during a sporting event he's calling? The higher-ups won't allow that.
I don't know.
4488.
Maybe we should send Joel on the road next year for some UH basketball games.
Maybe so.
That wouldn't be allowed.
That's why I just said the higher-ups wouldn't allow that.
Higher-ups where? Here?
No.
Everywhere.
I think both sides.
I was going to say, where the game's there.
Yeah.
713-780-3776.
I think Calvin would be for it.
What are your questions for the Killer Bees? Yeah, he said there were two of his favorite people.
That's right.
He did say that once upon a time. Get some more of these questions. 2239, even when some guys come off the injured list, who is playing third to give Bregman the night off? You have abundance of outfielders, but no one to get spot starts at first or third.
I think for one night, you can play Doobie there.
Yeah. Dubon, that's the answer. Dubon's your answer.
Yep.
Dubon can play third base to get Alex Bregman off his feet, no doubt about it. Dubon's a good infielder. Dubon's a really good defensive infielder. You can live with Dubon starting once a week or, you know, three, five times a month at third base.
On that note, you know what's been bothering me lately?
What's that?
Jeremy Peña's not as great this year as he was last year.
I think he started slow, but I've been impressed with him lately. I think he's been pretty good lately.
There was the one that kind of dribbled through the middle that he didn't get to, and there's a couple that his backhand hasn't been real crisp in picking.
Well, he had the backhand the other day where Bregman could have caught the ball at third. You're out of the eighth inning, and you win the game in Seattle. Unathletic Bregman. He's so unathletic. I know that fired you up. He's so unathletic. Like, where did his athleticism go? He's slow. He can't jump. He's got decent range, but he's so unathletic. Why is Bregman unathletic all of a sudden?
I don't know that it's all of a sudden. He's not exactly been fluid with his athleticism his whole career, but I think he's strong, and I think that he plays a good defensive third base. He's just not, we used to criticize the way he ran and his gait even before he had the knee injury, that it looks like it's really painful to watch him run sometimes.
Yeah, it's not fun to watch. He lost all of his athleticism. Coug Blaze with a tough one. Who's the better general manager, Jeff Bagwell or Bill O'Brien?
Jeff Bagwell.
That's one of my kind of questions, one that you don't want to answer.
I'll say Jeff Bagwell because,
it's too early to answer.
You spent money, but you didn't give up a bunch of assets that you really couldn't afford to give up.
I'm going to rephrase the way that this question's asked. I'm not going to say that either one's better. I'm going to say that Bagwell's the lesser of two evils.
That's correct.
Because there's still a chance that Brave figures it out.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for Heck like he does.
Like, we know that DeAndre Hopkins trade was awful.
I was going to say the Hopkins trade, not getting a first.
The Tunsil trade,
not getting an extension and what you gave up and all those other things. I think it's just money at this point. We always get the pushback. It's not your money they're spending. Don't worry about it. Well, if that's the case, then I think the lesser of two evils is Jeff Bagwell.
Yeah, because it really is. Like, it's just Jim Crane's money. But, like, the draft, like, knocking in a first for DeAndre Hopkins, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
That's an all-time trade.
I don't mind the idea of trading Hopkins when they traded him.
No, but it's the problem is that the best wide receiver
but
in the NFL.
But whether it happened first or last, the Diggs trade got you a first round right at the same
time.
And
it was the same offseason.
Yep, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And I didn't know which happened first, but they both happened real close.
Yeah,
Diggs was first.
No.
It was second?
No, Diggs was after.
Really?
Yeah. I'm pretty confident.
That's even worse.
And they got the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Actually, it might not be worse. Yeah. One pick after Jalen Reagor.
Like...
Poncho says, did BK make it out of Mexico unscathed? I didn't know that he was in Mexico.
That's a good question.
I don't know if he's... I don't know.
There hasn't been a BK sighting, if that's what you're asking.
We'll find out in 50 minutes.
It's still TBD.
Not that there would be at this point of day.
Very good point.
713-780-ESPN.
Call us at 259.
Ocho says, would you rather drink Gentle Ben and no other beverage except water or never drink Gentle Ben at all? Gentle Ben. No doubt. That's what I do.
That's
I only
a
drink.
Shocker. Right
I, all I drink is water, coffee, and Gentle Ben anyway.
That's the dumbest question ever, Oach.
And sometimes some iced tea. Like, I'll have water, coffee, unsweetened iced tea, Gentle Ben. That's all I drink these days. So, yeah, it's an easy question. Easy question. I know the answer for Blankers would be the opposite.
What if you had to
I don't drink.
Choose between coffee and water? Answer.
Coffee and water?
No,
you have to drink water.
Yeah.
It's technically in your coffee.
I know, but I don't think that. I would have to go...
Gentle Ben and coffee only or Gentle Ben and water only?
Probably Gentle Ben and water.
Mm.
I'd have to go water.
I feel like I don't know if I want to meet Jeremy without coffee.
Yeah. I'm not sure you want to meet me with too much coffee.
I'm fine.
You've loved me for how long have we been doing this show? Nearly 2 years?
Maybe.
It's been the time of your life.
When's your guys' anniversary?
August. Sometime in August.
I don't even know. That's how far this marriage is.
Are we
going
to celebrate?
Downhill. I don't know.
We should. We should celebrate.
We haven't in the past. You can get the cake.
I'm not a big celebration guy.
You see the latest thing now with coffee and lemon in it? It's supposed to help you lose weight? That sounds like next to Will Levis. That's a horrible combination.
Yeah. I mean, you drink lemon in your tea. Would that be so bad?
I hate tea as it is, but my coffee is I prefer, I'm a coffee connoisseur to some point, but I don't want, lemon would just screw the whole thing up.
I just drink mine black. Like, I keep it simple. How do you drink yours?
With some soy milk.
Soy milk?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. 002, Mailbag Monday. MLB nerds numbers say Jose Abreu is the worst hitter in the league. I saw that this morning, too. If he continues to struggle by mid-July, will his contract be more egregious than Carlos Lee? Bob Ford used to always call him Carlos. No, he would call him Carlos Lee. His first name, Car, last name, Los Lee. Which would be the worst contract?
Carlos Lee was pretty bad, but he still was a power hitter. He either swung and missed or he hit a home run, but he did hit home runs.
This one's easy. Carlos Lee was pretty good as a Houston Astro. Carlos Lee actually made the All-Star team as a Houston Astro.
What was the first baseman that was strike? Clark?
What?
What was the year that the first baseman was like feast or famine, like strikeout or home run, and he just got crushed? And he had a decent
Carlos
contract.
Pena?
No, I think it was Clark?
I don't remember a Clark. All I remember, the only first baseman that I know last name Clark
Carter,
was Will
Carter,
Clark.
Carter.
Chris Carter. Yeah, he had like 40 tanks back-to-back years. Carlos Lee was a pretty good offensive player. Like, was he overpaid slightly? Was it an era of Houston Astro baseball we don't remember fondly? Yeah, they weren't great coming off the World Series, all of that. And like, he was the replacement for Carlos Beltran. Carlos Lee was pretty good. If Jose Abreu was Carlos Lee, we would be celebrating Jose Abreu right now. So Carlos Lee, easily the better better contract as of now, if he can't turn it around. 713-780-ESPN. 4488, is this Dusty's last year as coach?
I kind of think it is. Oh, well, you know what? Unless they win it all, then he's going to probably look for the dynasty.
I'm going to say yes regardless.
Regardless? I think the only reason why it's not is if they win it all again.
I think Dana Brown goes and gets his guy.
Nope.
Whoever that
too
is.
Too soon. Too soon with the relationship and everything else that goes with it. I think that if he wins it all, he'll come back. If not, I think this is his last year.
I mean, I'm on the record that AJ Hinch will be the opening day manager next year, so I won't change my mind.
I'll go.
They're actually playing good ball lately.
I'll go yes. This will be Dusty's last year.
AJ Hinch is apparently like the Javier Baez whisperer.
Yeah, I know.
Because he benched him, and now Javier Baez is like one of the best shortstops in baseball all of a sudden.
It's what he needs to do with Jose Abreu, and just bench him. Why are you benching me, coach? Because you're terrible. You're the worst offensive player in baseball. All right, last one. 409, Josh, for the rest of your driving days, would you rather drive with the blinker sound on or the wipers on?
Blinkers? Oh, the entire time you're driving?
Every moment that you're driving for the rest of your life, you have to pick one. Blinker sound is on or the wipers are on?
It's the blinkers.
It's the blinkers. You can drown it out with the radio.
And because what happens when it hasn't rained in 3 days and your wipers are just running constantly?
Yep. It's going to just kill your wipers.
And you're going to get
it's going to be annoying.
And the screeching noise, like you're going to wear them down.
This is blinkers easy.
Yeah.
This is blinkers easy. If it really bothered you, the sound, then you can just do headphones.
And when the blinkers die, you don't have. You could just be an idiot and not replace them. You have to replace your wipers.
Right.
Wipers are more important than blinkers.
Yeah, you have to go with the blinker noise on that. That was an easy one.
Yep.
All right, that does it for Ask Us Anything, our Mailbag Monday. If you have any other questions you want to ask, just tweet them at Pac-Man Joel. All right, 713-780-ESPN. I don't think this is the best idea. I'll just go ahead and preface it by saying that. It can seriously backfire, but I am tempted again by the idea of James Harden as a Houston Rocket. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. James Harden was terrific yesterday, and I'll just be honest with you guys. Like, I've been more open to the idea of a reunion than Blankers has. Look, you led the league in assists. The Rockets could very much need kind of a point guard. I don't really view Harden as a point guard, even though he led the league in assist. But he can be that lead guard. Got a couple of guards around him. Who knows where you end up in the lottery. You got Jabari here. I'm open to the idea of a reunion. And I'll be honest, the way he played yesterday and the way that he's played actually the entire playoffs, with the exception of a couple of games, overall he's been good.
Games two and three, statistically, the worst two games back-to-back in his career in the playoffs.
Okay, what if Harden played poorly in game one, game four, they're swept?
Okay, so essentially he and AD are the same player, right? Every other game you're going to get something from him?
Cool, I'd be happy with either one.
What's your end game then with the Rockets?
So this is why I'm open to the idea of it, probably more than you, and maybe even more than some. Now, I'll preface it by saying I don't want it to be a long-term contract.
That's what I was going to say. Like everything matters.
Like a two-year deal would be great. He did this little one-in-one deal with Philadelphia. Like, I'd be cool with that as well. I don't really care about the amount of money. I care more about the length of the contract, especially with, you know, the way the payroll currently is, where you have a lot of rookie deals and young players anyways. The goal is that you're back to being a playoff team next year. The goal is that you're exciting again. The goal is that you can take the Rockets team under first year of Ime Udoka, and you could be potentially one of the top 10 teams in the West and playing actual high-stake basketball games again, while also not ruining the long-term gain of this young core. That's why I hesitate with the long-term contract. I don't want it to be like 3 years or more, because now I think that you have to make a decision about Harden at an older age versus one of these young stars that you have. I think that you can time the length of the contract right with when you're going to play these young players, to where you're adding James Harden, an all-star level basketball player, the leader and assist in the NBA, without costing you anybody around it. And then the timing of the contract, when it comes off the books, you just pay the young guys that you have. So you're just spending money. You're not losing draft capital. You're not losing young players. You're just using the money that you have under the salary cap.
I just think that you are... Sure, you're trying to speed up the process of making the playoffs in the short term while screwing up your long-term future, not financially, but just in the growth of your players. You've already gone through a really, really horrendous era of Rockets basketball in terms of not developing the young players that you've been able to put together. And now, as you get out of that and kind of wipe your shoe off from what you stepped in into the Udoka era, I agree with you that, you know, that because I put term on here as a problem and money. But if it's only for 2 years, not that I think that he's going to take that or that Daryl's going to let him go.
He did the one-and-one in Philly.
Right, because he stayed in Philly. And I think that he knew that in a year's time, because they needed the money this last year, that in going forward, there was a wink-wink with Daryl that there's probably going to be max money on the table for him. But I think as it relates to the Rockets, now that you got out of stepping in that pile for the couple of years with Silas not developing the young players, now you're going to take a guy that from the day he walks into your locker room again, it's going to be seeming like old times. It's I'm the man. It's my ball. I'll share it when I feel like it. I don't think he's at a stage in his career ability-wise to carry this team and lead this team every single night.
He's never shot less in his life.
I understand that. He's also playing with the MVP.
True.
And he's got Maxey and Tobias Harris. Not a max player, but a good player. He's got good players around him. I think that when he gets here, he's just going to basically see that I'm the adult in the room. So you guys just sit back and do what I say and don't worry about what I do. And I think that, again, you're going to set back this all these young players that are trying to find their way, find a role. Some of them are trying to find out if they can be superstars or not. And so is the Rockets organization. And I don't know that you're truly going to get the analysis you need out of the players that you have while basically maybe making the top 10.
Would it be worse, though? Like, last year with Silas and KPJ as your point guard, would it be worse with Udoka and James Harden as your point guard? I don't think it's worse. I think it's better.
No, but I'm saying, again, the other thing that I said was, what's your goal? If your goal is just to make the playoffs, I think they can make the playoffs with the scenario you just painted. But I think that at what price? Because I think you're, especially if you get Wembanyama.
I don't think it stunts your long term growth though.
I do.
Like I think that you can do Harden short term, get back to like playoff basketball in the short term in the micro. But then in the macro, you add I don't want to say you're going to add Victor because there's like an 84% chance you don't add Victor. But I don't think that it necessarily stunts the growth of the Rockets.
I think it hurts more if it's Victor because now. Victor really can't spread his wings or really do as much as you want to see him do.
Why?
Because James is going to hog the ball.
But he's not doing it this year with, like you said, the MVP.
Scenario.
So if you have one of the best young players in basketball and a coach that's going to demand him to not be selfish with the ball, why would it stunt his growth?
Because I think that one, Tillman's going to probably tell Ime Udoka, if we get Harden, give him the ball, well, no matter what.
That's a problem.
And I think that could be a very big factor in this. But I also think that he, with a room of adults and a playoff coach and Doc Rivers and an organization that, it, you know, he's being watched and scrutinized as being a guy that had to change his role. And that's constantly been a discussion with him. He's going to come back to a place where I'm the man. I've been the man here. I'm going to be the man again. And I think that when you are evaluating Jalen Green to see if you're going to give him a max contract and where he's going to be, when you're still trying to figure out what Jabari's going to be and if KPJ fits and what he's going to do, and whoever you get with your draft pick.
Right, but how does that set their growth more next year than it did this past year?
I'm not talking about next year. I said you could get something to make the playoffs with James for next year.
Right.
But I think while you're doing that, you're not developing and getting what you – you're not seeing what you need to see out of these young players.
Right, but what I said was the pushback of that. Like, Harden as a point guard, Udoka as the head coach, I think develops the young players more than Steven Silas as the head coach and Kevin Porter Jr. as the point guard.
But it's a different discussion. Fine, it's going to be better than having Silas and KPJ, but overall, does that make Jalen Green better? Does that make Jabari better? Does that make Şengün better? Do they see the ball as much? No. Will they get the looks in the same place? Absolutely not. Probably for the most part, it's going to be James deciding when he gets stuck to give it up. And I think that's where you're stunting these guys. Not to mention that they're going to, from an Udoka standpoint, I think the, where they will develop is he's going to expect everybody to play defense. But that's where James is probably going to have a problem because he doesn't play defense.
And he's a little bit of a liability defensively, too. Like, they were kind of attacking him in some matchups.
They were definitely trying to run, like a Steph Curry, they were trying to run switches to get Harden on their guys.
Yeah, see, like your point is more Udoka and point guard, who knows, versus Udoka and James Harden as your point guard, and you like option A more than option B for the development of the young players. But what if the backup plan, like if you get Scoot Henderson, I think you eliminate the idea of James Harden altogether. But if the option is, would you rather have scenario A, I mean, Udoka's your head coach, that's fixed.
Yep.
But who would you rather your point guard be next season? Kevin Porter Jr. or James Harden?
See, I hate your questions.
But I think that's the most realistic question.
Because honestly, if
you don't get Scoot Henderson in the draft, I think the most likely scenario of who your point guard is next year are those two players.
Well, but because Udoka is your head coach and you're not paying $50 million to get James Harden, I think you're in a better situation because KPJ is not going to be able to KPJ under Udoka because he's going to be held accountable because he's going to have to make the right decisions, not lead the league in turnovers, or Udoka is going to put someone else at point guard. Ideally, I think we're both in the same boat that if you get Scoot Henderson, I think he's a really, really good fit for this team.
I would throw out this entire conversation if you get Scoot.
No question. But I think that if those are my only two choices, I'll take KPJ under Udoka.
Wow. Okay.
More than I'll take James Harden with the money and the headache that he's going to bring when he wants to be the James he's always been in Houston.
I go with the Harden side of that. What do you say, Houston? 713-780-ESPN. You can have point guard Kevin Porter Jr. You can have point guard James Harden. 713-780-3776. Zach says every time I start to think maybe Branham isn't so bad, he says something to tick me off. Nobody wants Harden. I'm right there with you, Zach. I hate James Harden, but I am slightly intrigued by the idea. I think you're a top 10 team in the West if you add James Harden. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get your thoughts on that. 713-780-3776. Also, Joe George's favorite team, baseball team, has a pitcher on the market. Yeah. Lucas Giolito.
I was going to guess because it could have been the Cubs, but the Cubs are winning.
Yeah, it's definitely not the Cubs. Would you want Giolito with the Houston Astros? Hasn't always been too kind to the Astros. Would you be okay to the idea of Giolito as a member of the Houston Astros? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The Harden conversation to Houston really is polarizing. Some people love the idea. Most people, I think, dislike the idea. And I've certainly never been a James Harden guy. I've called him James Kardashian, can't ever win the big game, was never going to win an NBA title, was the best player on a team. I just think it's a better option than KPJ. 713-780-ESPN. And then you have people like Sean Mapes, who for some reason has a Brooklyn Nets James Harden jersey.
Or Andrew, who still has his ketchup and mustard Harden jersey that he still wears. Yeah,
that one makes sense to me, though.
Time out.
That one makes sense to me.
They're wearing it to troll Paul.
Oh, but here's the thing. Like, I can totally understand why someone has a James Harden Houston jersey.
Paul's a Slim Jim hater, right?
Totally understand. Yeah, I think he is.
Okay.
But what inspires one to buy a James Harden Brooklyn Nets jersey? Like, that's what is the question. Motive there? Like, I can understand keeping the Harden jersey, wearing it every now and then. That one doesn't really, like, doesn't even move the needle for me at all. But to have a Brooklyn Nets James Harden jersey, like, what is going through the mind there?
I agree with that, but I also disagree with what you said about the Harden jersey, because he still forced his way out, and he never got what he was supposed to be here to get for you. And then when the grass wasn't green anymore, he wanted out.
He was still one of the best Rockets of all time.
He's also one of the most hated superstars in the history of this city.
From a fan base, I don't know if that's entirely
Deshaun
true.
Kind of trumped him recently, but other than that...
There's a lot of Harden love in this city, though. Now, people that were around him, people that were like within those walls, not at all.
I think there's
from
a lot
a fan
of fans.
Base point of view, I think the fan base really liked James Harden.
I think there's some, but I don't think there's as many as that. I think I used to say when Harden was hardening before the Deshaun situation came to light that he was the most hated superstar the city had ever seen. Now I think Deshaun takes the cake. But I think that a lot of people were pissed that they catered to him every step of the way, and then he basically...
That's kind of the NBA, though.
It's becoming sports, professional sports, period. But it's not the way it used to be, and when he did it, it wasn't the way that everybody was doing it. And I think that a lot of people got rubbed the wrong way by that and his inability to perform in the playoffs to get him where they wanted to go, that they thought they were going to go with him, no matter what the organization did by getting him a different partner every year of superstar caliber to try and carry the torch.
1-4-2-8, guy who led the league in assists versus the guy who led the league in turnovers. Pretty easy decision.
That's a pro Harden, obviously.
Yeah, it's a pro Harden. 713-780-3776. Are you a pro Lucas Giolito? Joe George loves this idea because he watches every single Lucas Giolito start because he's a closet White Sox fan.
Fake news.
And he
closet
posted on...
just outward.
Well, yeah, he doesn't like talking about it. So
no, it's not...
It's pretty closeted.
It's not true.
Did you come out at the start of the year?
No, I'm not.
See, he's still denying it.
I'm not a White Sox fan.
That's how in the closet he is with the White Sox fandom.
Yeah, I'm not excited that the Cubs just called up the two top prospects in the last, like, 3 days. Nope, not excited about that.
Well, I mean, you can like both teams in Chicago.
That's
fake. Fine.
That's not true.
You can,
No, you cannot.
Some people do. Some people do, and some people get yelled at outside of Wrigley when they do.
Yeah, John Cusack, scumbag. Like, look, you can't.
Do you have a story with him? Like, do you like him? Like, why are you defending him?
He was in the movie, Gross Point Blank.
I'm sorry, you cannot.
And he had a lot of good movies.
You're defending John Cusack.
You cannot sit behind.
I like John Cusack movies.
You cannot sit behind like the dugout at Wrigley Field during the 2016 World Series and then also be a White Sox fan and show up in their gear. Like, you can't do that. If you do that, like if you see a Rangers fan that you know is a Rangers fan and they're here celebrating the Astros, but then they go put on their Rangers gear,
different.
Scumbag.
Different. Your comparison has to be like Yankees Mets in the same city. It can't be like in the same state.
No, I think state and city is the same.
I don't.
You cannot be a Rangers and Astros fan. You cannot be a Cubs and White Sox fan. You can't be a, I don't know how many Chargers fans exist, but you can't be a Chargers and Rams fan.
We got one down the hall.
One.
Ooh, Ronnie?
Yeah.
Why can't you in the same city, you just love the city of Chicago.
Because
so
it's divided.
But you're a casual fan. You just support whoever wears Chicago on their jersey.
That's like saying you should be a Texas and an A&M fan.
Yeah.
It's not same
or
city.
Or a Houston and Rice fan.
Yeah,
that's a different conversation.
You can't play both ways.
You got to
pick one side.
Yeah. Choose a side.
Yeah. And Joe has made it known that it's a White Sox side.
Stop.
So Lucas Giolito, the White Sox, there's reports that they're not going to keep Giolito, final year of his deal. Last year wasn't very good, 4.90 ERA. The year before was really good, 3.53 ERA. He's at 3.67 this year. Would you entertain the idea? That's not a good question. Of course you'd entertain the idea. Yep. Would you be willing to trade for Lucas Giolito, and at what cost?
Yeah, I would explore it. I think the cost is the biggest thing to me. If they're not going to re-sign him and he's going to walk, I think the bigger question is how many teams are going to be in the market, because with the playoffs expanded, there's going to be a lot of teams looking for pitching that are going to want to get in on this too, and I don't think you have the resources, and because of your farm system being somewhat still depleted, you can't give up what other teams are going to give up. The X factor is, does he even want to play here, because he's had bad blood with the Astros in the past? But I think that if you're Dana Brown, you got to at least kick the tires. I said you got to explore every possibility, and that's a possibility.
The more I've thought about it, the more I think it just costs you Corey Lee.
If it's just Corey Lee, I'm doing it.
His stuff is can be elite, but he just hasn't been.
Like, now, he had a four or a five in a good team's rotation, that's really good to have.
You're probably only getting him this year. You're probably only getting, because I doubt that you re-sign him.
Right.
The Astros haven't He's 27, 28? 28.
Okay. I think he's the perfect
flyer. If you only get him for a few minutes, it doesn't really matter how old he is.
Like, if you lose Garcia for 6.5 years like they're projecting, maybe.
Like, he's the perfect flyer for if he's great or if he's better than he has been, you force him into the rotation in the playoffs. If he's not, then he's Jose Urquidy in the playoffs last year. And, like, you gave up a third catcher in Corey Lee, which you don't have a future for because Yonier Diaz is the future of the position. And, like, you move
on. What's wrong with that?
I'm having a hard time believing that the White Sox would do this for just for Corey Lee.
If they already know that they're giving up on him.
But he's going to probably be one of the best starting pitchers on the market.
But you got a young catcher you can plug and play starting next year that's a part of your future no matter what you do.
But you think that Corey Lee is going to be the best offer the White Sox get? No, I think that's being a little bit too one-sided towards the Astros.
I just said no, because I don't think they have the farm system that other teams have, and especially the teams that have them that are willing to give up their top prospect.
I mean, how big is their teardown, I think, factors in. Like, if they do a full teardown, Lucas Giolito will be the worst player they trade.
Luis Robert, after dogging it down the line, caught a lot of heat. Are they going to trade him?
Is Eloy Jimenez, like...
I doubt they trade Luis Robert. Yeah, he's one of their best young players.
I think Luis Robert and Dylan Cease are the only players that they for sure don't trade. But, like, Tim Anderson...
What's the third baseman that's never panned out that was the Red Sox?
Oh, Moncada.
Yeah. Moncada.
Yep.
But, like, I mean, he's probably going to get Wally Pipped here. Like, they're going to tear it down. So, like, those teams that do the big teardowns, some of those players cost less prospects.
I think Giolito has a very real chance to be the best starting pitcher on the market. And if Lucas Giolito, even as a rental, is the best starting pitcher on the market come June and July, it's going to fetch more than Corey Lee. If I can get him done for only Corey Lee, great. That would be outstanding. Yes, I would absolutely do that. One name that's intriguing to me is Eduardo Rodriguez. Eduardo Rodriguez right now has like a top five ERA in the American League. Now, it's a bit pricey because I think he's the second year of a four-year deal, and he's making significant money. I think it's somewhere between like $15, $18 million. But if you're looking at a guy who can not only eat innings, but is a potential like starting rotation in the playoffs pitcher, and then the fact that he has multiple years, yes, it's a bit on the upper echelon of like maybe paid more than
his actual worth. What's it average?
I think it's like $17, $18 million.
Giolito going to get more than that on the open market?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Giolito's probably going to flirt with 30, right? I think Lucas Giolito's going to flirt with $30 million. Absolutely.
No. I don't. I think he's Lance. I think he's a Lance deal.
Why would he be a Lance deal? He's going to be a free agent. He's not going to be signing with a team to a sweetheart deal and buy out arbitration years.
Like $17 million?
Oh.
He's talking about Lance McCullers, who signed before he was up to free agency while he still had club control. Like, this guy's going to be Lucas Giolito is going to be a top three starting pitcher in the free agency market. Guy's going to get $30 million.
I guess a lot of it might just depend on, let's say, he's a Houston Astro. If he comes out and he wins a World Series and he's awesome, it's only going to go up.
I think it depends on the team.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
I really don't. I think he's $30 million unless he gets hurt. Like, done.
Because I could see a team, like, using him as the, we didn't get Shohei fallback. Like, everyone, like, ESPN just did this thing. They're saying Shohei's going to get, like, $524 million was, like, the average.
Yeah, that's awesome.
From, like, 26 executives and agents that they polled. But, like, so a team like the Mets doesn't get, Shohei, but they get, oh, well, we'll get Lucas Giolito. He's the guy to replace JV and Scherzer eventually. Like, I could see that.
Yeah, I think he's going to make a lot of money. Eduardo Rodriguez, he actually has an opt-out after this year. Which would be interesting. It's a player opt-out that he could get out of it after this year. But next year, he's on the books for 18. The year after, at age 32, he's on the books at 16. The year after, he's on the books at 33 at 15, and that's it.
If he keeps playing like he's playing, he should opt out.
He might, because he might be a $30 million
pitcher. I was going to say, just to your theory of what you just said about Giolito, then if he hits the market, he's got to make 25-plus.
I would be intrigued with Eduardo Rodriguez. Like, I think that he's got a 181 ERA right now, and he's probably pitching way better than he's actually capable of, but he's got... Like, the dude's been around. The dude has had playoff experience. He's a left-handed pitcher. And the fact that he has multiple years on his contract for less than $20 million, yes, I know he's going to be in his 30s, it might actually be beneficial to you because Luis Garcia is going to be out to next year's All-Star break. Jose Urquidy always has shoulder injuries. Lance McCullers always has elbow injuries. I like the idea of Eduardo Rodriguez more than I like it of Lucas Giolito, although I will concede Giolito's a better pitcher than Eduardo Rodriguez despite the earlier numbers.
You better hope that Detroit better stop doing what they've been doing.
Are they, like, actually in the race?
They swept the Mets in a doubleheader. They've been heating up. They've gotten Javi Baez to awake from the dead. And
they're sub 500, three games back.
But they've been playing better baseball of late.
Yeah, I think they're going to win the division all of a sudden.
6-4 in their last 10.
Like, I think they're better than Minnesota.
You think Detroit's going to win the division?
Do you want to make that bet?
Yes, let's make that bet.
Let's do it. Forget. I don't. Double up on your Bears bet. Come on. You just made that statement. Make that bet.
Detroit's not going to finish top two in that division.
I can make this statement without feeling like I'm going to lose money on it.
Yeah, well, you got a discount.
Detroit's going to fade away and lose 90 games.
I don't know. That division, like, I'm not impressed with
Minnesota's
Cleveland.
Minnesota's good. Cleveland's good. It would at least
Cleveland's underachieved.
I think
they're better than Detroit.
I think they're okay. Like, Detroit's got, look, they're like the Astros in, like, 2015, like, in terms of, like, what they thought they had in prospect. Spencer Torkelson's been a total joke.
Yeah.
But, like, Riley Green is still up there. Like, I don't know. Like, that division's there for the taking. I think, if anything, they're going to be the aggressor at the deadline. Like,
I don't think it's going to get them a division title, and I'm pretty certain they're not going to get second place in the division.
I'm not doing the wager.
Yeah, you don't feel confident
can
enough
give
in
me
the
like
take.
A, can you give me like a week?
You made a strong take, and then you made a weak backup plan.
But just because I have a strong take doesn't mean I want to lose money on it.
What do you think Carlos Rodon, whenever he was in free agency this past offseason, is relative to Giolito? Like, are the same tier pitchers, you think?
Yeah, but what's interesting is, like, Carlos Rodon's, like, he's done, right?
He's got the injury stuff, too.
He's got a debilitating back injury, they're saying?
Rodon got $162 for 6 years, $27 million.
I mean, Carlos,
I think Giolito gets more than that.
Carlos almost won a Cy Young, like, 2 years ago, didn't he?
He's been up and down.
Like, but, like, Giolito's been nowhere near his peak Rodon.
Temperament issues Giolito, in San Francisco?
Giolito had a top 10 Cy Young.
I guess, yeah, that was like three years ago. Was it the COVID season?
I think it was 2 years.
Actually, he's got 4 years in top 11. He had 2019, he finished 6th. 2020, he finished 7th. 2021, he finished 11th. Now, 2020 was the COVID year, though. So I'm willing to throw that out.
I think Giolito is the perfect
trade
candidate. Like, if you're with the injuries, like, do make me wonder if you try to find someone that's not a rental, though.
Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yeah, well, he's kind of a rental if he has an opt-out.
Yeah. I don't know if he opts out of it, though.
Because you're acquiring a player based on their contract, but there's an if with his contract. At least with Giolito, you have definitive that he's a free agent, so like, you know, it helps you with your price.
Yeah, but I don't mind if he opts in.
That's true. But like, if you give up too much and then he opts out, like, that's a
double
loss.
Because it depends on the price.
Yeah, I don't mind if he opts in either, because of the uncertainty of when and if guys are going to be back or healthy.
King of Twitch mentions a name that I've actually been intrigued by. Adam Wainwright. Now, he's been getting rocked.
Last year.
He's only pitched in one game. He didn't have a great 40 game.
40-something, right?
He's 41 years old.
Bring back Dallas Keuchel at this point.
Get out of town.
Is he even pitching anywhere?
No. Kick Dallas Keuchel. We got to go to break now. 713-780-DALLAS-KEUCHEL. So you killed this segment. 713-780-3776. Don't mention that. All right, is this guy an angel or is this guy a footballer in La Liga? Astros opening up a three-game series against the Angels of Anaheim. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hunter Brown on the mound tonight for the Houston Astros as they kick off the three-game series against the Angels of Anaheim. Brown 3-1, 260 ERA, tries to change the momentum for the Astros, tries to keep the Astros from falling under 500. It's Patrick Sandoval for the Anaheim Angels. 3-1, 293 ERA. He's a lefty. See if Chaz McCormick is back tonight. Before we play, is he an angel or is he a footballer in La Liga? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line for Alan. Alan, you're in the high for the Killer Bees. What's up, Alan?
Hey, how you doing? Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Hey, why don't we trade Corey Lee and then give him back Jose Abreu for that guy?
Yeah, Jose Abreu, appreciate it, Alan. Houston would love to do that. Jose Abreu right now has about as negative a trade value of anybody in Major League Baseball. Like, there's not many. There's probably a couple. I'd have to look it up. But there are not many players in baseball that have more of a negative trade value than Jose Abreu does right now around the league.
Well, let's play a game.
All right.
More trade value. Jose Abreu,
okay,
or benched catcher Wilson Contreras.
Wilson Contreras has way more trade value than Jose Abreu. Because Contreras still has an offensive game.
Yep.
Like, you can DH Wilson Contreras.
I mean, play at first base.
They yanked that guy so fast.
They don't like him.
Dusty was right.
I don't think the Astros were trading for Wilson Contreras to be the everyday catcher. Because I remember when they were rumored to be for Wilson Contreras, I thought he was going to play a few games in left, a few games at first, a few games at DH, and be the backup catcher. I don't think he was ever going to be the starting catcher in Houston.
Look at the way they handled it with the platoon, the catchers. We thought that they were making a trade for a starting catcher. They are making a trade for a defensive replacement.
I would trade Jose Abreu for Wilson Contreras like that.
Sure, I would too.
At like that. It would be a steal. So, yeah, Jose Abreu has far more negative trade value than Wilson Contreras.
Anybody else?
Did you have some others?
No, that's all I got.
There's probably some really bad contract that's out there. I would take Cody Bellinger in a heartbeat.
I mean,
he's got
Cody Bellinger.
He's a 1 year or 2 year deal.
I only said it because he's a Cub.
Yeah, I don't care. I would do it in a heartbeat.
Well, he's also playing like lights out baseball.
I know
right
he's
now.
Playing good baseball, but of course, here would make a difference.
It's one or 2 year deal.
One with an option.
Yeah, give me Cody Bellinger over Jose Abreu. There's not many players in baseball that I would not. We should do that tomorrow. That's a game tomorrow. Right. Is there a player in baseball that you would not trade for Jose Abreu?
So tomorrow's show.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Give me Stanton.
He's overpaid like a mother, and he's never healthy.
And it's also Relong. That's a good name. We might remember that one.
So tomorrow we're going to play.
Give us some names.
Lesser or more trade value, and you're going to make me eat that tuna stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show.
There's
you're
a
not
can of tuna
it.
In there. You're going to be fine.
You're not going to want to miss tomorrow's show. We're going to find out if there's a player with lesser trade value than Jose Abreu, and Joe George is going to eat a can of tuna out of our vending machine. It's the new hot item. Here at ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I think I'm paying for it.
Yeah, Jeremy, it's $2.75. Make sure you bring.
I owe Joel two lunches. Problem solved.
No, it's not.
Problem
no.
solved.
Remember, we decided that the guy who won the bet chose.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, it was the listeners
remember. I remember.
You're just going to go buy like all of them that are in there and say, here's your lunch,
yeah,
Joel.
Yeah. This is what I owe you. $2.50. Attaboy. Have at it.
Just a reminder, it's cash only unless you have the app set up.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
That's a problem.
On the vending machine?
Yeah, there's like an app you can use, or it's cash only.
That's a problem. I'll have to download the stupid app. All right, anyways, let's get to an Angel or a footballer in La Liga. Is this guy a footballer, or is this guy a La Liga? What are you typing? I haven't even given you the name. It's a bad joke.
No, it isn't, because I got the Angels roster up, so now I can cheat.
Jaime Barea or Karim Benzema? Jaime Barea.
Are you playing, Joe?
Or Karim Benzema?
I'm going to go Barea. Baseball player.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, Karim Benzema is like, I took it easy on you guys.
I knew who that player
Benzema
was.
Benzema is like a really
that's the
good,
first
everybody
time,
knows Benzema.
That's the first time you played this game and I knew the player.
Yeah, see, I've actually, I was trying to take care of y'all a little bit on that first one. All right, here's the second one. Vinicius Jr. and Carlos Estevez. Vinicius Jr. or Carlos Estevez?
Second guy plays for the Angels.
Yeah, I'm going to say Emilio Estevez plays for the Angels.
All right, Carlos Estevez. You're on Twitch right now?
No, I'm
Carlos
not.
Estevez, a reliever for the Anaheim Angels. Got a 1.08 ERA. Vinicius Jr. is a winger for Real Madrid. All right, final one.
That one you could have gotten me all day to guess, and I wouldn't have gotten it.
Vinicius Souza or Jose Suarez? Vinicius Souza or Jose Suarez? Which one's the footballer? Which one's the baseball player?
Jose Suarez, the
baseball
angel.
Player.
Man, y'all swept it. Suarez is off to a horrific start this year for the Anaheim Angels. He's got a 1-2 record with a 9.62 ERA. And Vinicius Jr. is currently playing for Espanyol on loan from Lomel. So, congratulations. Great job.
Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, he's a Mariner.
Yeah, is that pronounced correctly?
Eugenio Suarez?
Because that's how TK says it?
I don't know.
Oh, my wife. It's just a hot, you know, because especially news people.
Y'all are ultra sensitive about pronunciations in the blank household.
Welcome to my world, because it's a fight, because she's like, you have to say it right on air. And so she's convinced that with her background and heritage, that is not the way you pronounce it. I go, do you really think that Todd Callis and other broadcasters nationally and locally are going to go out and say it the wrong way? I think the majority of them are going to do their research. Plus, you get a pronunciation guide. She's adamant that they're not pronouncing it right.
Okay.
I'm asking you.
I mean, if anything, we learned.
I'm imagining that Callis is pronouncing it right.
If anything, we learned from the weekend is you can't always trust broadcasters from say the right things, especially in Oakland.
Yikes.
7107 says, yeah, I'm going to avoid that one.
Barstool, too, right?
Yeah.
What happened with Barstool?
Same. Oh, the guy got canned.
He went full Ron Burgundy reading rap lyrics.
Oh, yeah, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, I'm pretty
No, I didn't see that.
Where was he broadcasting this? Was it like a podcast?
It was like live on YouTube.
It had to have been live.
He was rapping Bone Thugs and Harmony, and he just went full Ron Burgundy and just kept reading through the lyrics. I'm pretty sure he's been in studio before. With the Wheelies. With Ben Mintz, yeah.
He was in studio?
I'm pretty sure.
He said both of the chicks.
I know. I think he was with them.
Okay.
Oh, really?
He won't be anymore unless he's doing it on his own dime.
No, I think they got rid of him. Penn got rid of him.
Yeah.
Somebody said Trevor Bauer or Jose Abreu. Bauer's not in the league.
I thought about that one, but he's not yet.
He's not in the league.
You can't make trades with Japan.
Can you?
No, it'd be great, though.
Can we send Jose Abreu to the Nippon League?
That would be so mean. That's like when they talk about NFL, like a team in Europe. It's like, can you imagine trading out of the team that's in Europe?
I don't even think Bauer's playing in the top league, is he? I don't even think he's playing in the Nippon League. I really don't. What do you think the Wheelhouse is leaving their show with today?
Cal McNair said that they did not make the draft picks.
That's what I was thinking. Something about the Houston Texans golf tournament.
It's football.
Or maybe what Peter King said about the Texans. I think what he said about the golf tournament. I think what he said at the golf tournament. Whenever Cal McNair was looking at Hannah to make sure everything he said was okay.
Boy, we mentioned that during the break. Yeah. I mean, like, that's the biggest thing that I took away from everything that they put out there today. Cal could not speak without Hannah, like, as a ventriloquist, with her hand on his back, basically telling him what to say.
Yeah, the Hannah's cow's keeper. Like, it is what it is. All right, the Wheelhouse is next. Thanks to Joe George for doing all his hard work. He's blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston, when Joe George eats some tuna. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.